Welcome to a case study edition of The Drip, brought to you by Glaytech. For today's case study podcast, we're analyzing how Riverside Healthcare achieved a remarkable ROI with Glaytech.
And we've got some pretty incredible data to get into today.
We really do. But first, imagine, just for a second, that it is 2:00 a.m. in a bustling critical care unit. A nurse is, 8 hours into a grueling 12-hour shift, squinting at a static three-ring binder under a fluorescent light.
Oh, yeah, it's a scene we all know too well.
Right, and they are trying to manually calculate the exact insulin dosage for a crashing patient, a patient whose metabolic state is literally changing by the minute.
Which is incredibly stressful.
It really is. Now, whether you are a chief medical officer, a CFO scrutinizing the bottom line, or a nursing leader managing the realities on the floor, you know the scenario intimately.
You definitely do.
You are trying to solve the incredibly complex issue of clinical variation and adverse drug events related to inpatient insulin management. And you're likely relying on outdated paper protocols that drain your resources, frustrate your staff, and leave your patients exposed.
Yeah, and it's a systemic issue. I mean, it touches every single corner of the hospital. But the goal of our deep dive today is to prove a very specific point to you.
Which is that outcomes are the product.
Exactly. Outcomes are the product. We are going to dissect the Riverside Healthcare case study alongside Glaytech's broader messaging framework. We really want to show you how transforming clinical data at the bedside translates directly into hard operational ROI.
And CMS compliance. Let's not forget that.
Right. Absolutely. So I am going to be focusing heavily on the frontline impact, you know, what this means for patient safety, the physiological reality of insulin management, and the actual cognitive workload we put on nurses.
And I'll take those clinical realities and filter them into executive level strategy. Because look, clinical variation isn't just a patient safety issue. If you are running a hospital system, it is a massive compounding financial liability.
It really is a drain on the whole system.
So let's just jump right into the data. Set the stage for us at Riverside Healthcare. What was the specific clinical failure point they identified out there on the front lines?
Well, so Riverside Healthcare is actually an award-winning facility. I mean, they are nationally recognized for nursing excellence. But Lativia Carr, who is their vice president and chief nursing officer, she realized they had a critical vulnerability.
Right, specifically in their critical care unit, yeah.
Yes, in the CCU. They were relying on these standard sliding scale paper protocols for insulin titration.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand why this is so dangerous, you really have to look at the physiological reality of the patients in that unit.
Because these aren't just standard patients.
Not at all. You have highly vulnerable people dealing with severe comorbidities. We're talking COPD exacerbations, congestive heart failure, diabetic ketoacidosis.
Wow.
Yeah, and their metabolic rates are violently fluctuating. They're receiving steroids. Their nutrition is changing. Their stress levels are absolutely peaking.
And, I mean, a piece of paper printed 3 years ago and stuck in a binder cannot possibly account for that real-time physiological chaos.
It fundamentally cannot.
Yeah.
You know, the traditional sliding scale paper protocol is inherently reactive. It basically dictates a dose based on what the patient's blood glucose was an hour ago.
It's like trying to drive a car down a winding mountain road by only looking in the rearview mirror.
Oh, that is a perfect way to visualize it.
Right. You are constantly overcorrecting for where you were rather than, you know, steering for the curve that is immediately in front of you.
Exactly. You're always chasing the blood sugar, which leads to this dangerous roller coaster of highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
So Lativia and her team decided to pull the plug on that rearview mirror approach.
And that's when they brought in the tech.
Right. They implemented Glaytech's GluCommander. And they set up this really rigorous year-long study to measure the impact. They tracked 382 patients who required IV or subcutaneous insulin.
The results were pretty eye-opening, right?
The results completely dismantled the argument for keeping paper protocols. I mean, compared to their old method, Riverside achieved a 73% reduction in patients experiencing severe hypoglycemia.
A 73% drop in severe hypoglycemia. I mean, that is a fundamental change in the standard of care. But I want to zero in on another metric from the case study that really caught my eye.
Oh, the bounce backs.
Yes, the CCU bounce backs. The data shows readmissions to the critical care unit dropped to absolute zero. Zero for 12 consecutive months. And that's down from an average of 1 to 2 every single month.
Which is incredible.
Walk us through the mechanics of a bounce back, though, because from an operational standpoint, I know that is a catastrophic event, but what does it look like clinically?
Well, clinically, a bounce back means a patient was deemed stable enough to step down from the CCU to a general medical surgical floor. But because their glycemic management wasn't actually stabilized, usually because a paper protocol failed to adapt to their changing state, they crash.
Oh, man.
Yeah, their blood sugar plummets or spikes dangerously. And suddenly, a rapid response team is called. The patient might need to be reintubated. They are rushed right back to the most expensive, resource-intensive bed in the entire hospital.
That sounds like a nightmare for everyone involved.
It is terrifying for the patient, it's traumatizing for the family, and it's entirely disruptive to the hospital's patient flow. So eliminating those entirely for a full year is just a huge testament to what predictive dynamic dosing actually accomplishes.
But when I look at Riverside's data, I have to ask, you know, if this is an anomaly. Are these numbers a best-case scenario, or is this a repeatable baseline that a hospital executive should actually expect?
Oh, it is entirely repeatable.
Yeah.
In fact, if we look across the broader data set, other health systems are seeing even more dramatic stabilization.
Wait, really? Better than zero bounce backs and 73% reductions?
Yeah. Centara held a 57% reduction in hypoglycemia across their entire 12-hospital enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And Genesis Healthcare, they achieved a 99.8% reduction in severe hypoglycemia.
Wow.
And even when you pit technology against technology, the gap is massive. In a direct head-to-head cardiovascular surgery study at Advent Health, Glucomander resulted in 62.6% fewer preventable hypoglycemia adverse drug events. And that was compared to its main software competitor, EndoTool.
Okay, wait, I need to stop you on that Genesis number.
So 99.8%.
Yeah. If I am a hospital CFO or a chief medical officer listening to this, and a vendor pitches me a 99.8% reduction in any adverse event, my immediate instinct is to throw the proposal in the trash.
I know, it sounds almost made up.
It's statistically improbable. You cannot eliminate human error entirely, and human biology is inherently unpredictable. So how does any system achieve a 99.8% reduction without eventually hitting, like, a bizarre, unpredictable edge case that the software mishandles?
Well, it is the exact right level of skepticism. But the answer really lies in the architecture of the system. Glucomander is a Class 2 software as a medical device.
Okay, so it's heavily regulated.
Highly regulated. It has 20 years of continuous FDA clearance and zero recalls. For context, the competitor we just mentioned, EndoTool, has had 3 FDA recalls.
That's a stark contrast.
It is. And the reason Glucomander can hit that 99.8% reduction is the underlying engine. It is powered by 50 billion proprietary glycemic data points.
50 billion. So it's basically leveraging historical data to predict the future state.
Right. But it's how it uses that data. The algorithm doesn't just look at the current blood sugar number. It calculates the velocity of the glucose change.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it calculates the specific half-life of the insulin already active in that specific patient's body. A human brain, especially a fatigued one at 2 a.m., just cannot accurately calculate the exponential decay of insulin while cross-referencing past glycemic trajectories.
Obviously not.
But the software can. It has seen virtually every physiological edge case imaginable within those 50 billion data points. But crucially, it does not operate on autopilot. The algorithm provides an evidence-based recommendation, and the clinician reviews and confirms it.
Okay, so the system carries the massive computational burden, but you are still requiring clinical judgment before the drug is actually administered.
Mm.
The machine suggests, the human validates.
Exactly, which transitions us perfectly to the reality of a hospital workforce.
Right.
Because, you know, insulin is widely considered the second most dangerous drug in the hospital.
Right.
When you ask a nurse to manage it using manual calculations, you aren't just risking patient safety. You are actively degrading your workforce. Nurses are juggling multiple high acuity patients, responding to constant alarms, battling fatigue.
And every minute they spend flipping through a binder to do algebraic equations as well, a minute stripped away from direct patient care.
The time cost is staggering. When we look at the data from the broader installed base of Glycone, shifting that cognitive load from the clinician to the platform saves nurses up to 72 minutes.
72 minutes?
Yeah, 72 minutes per IV insulin patient per shift.
That's an hour and 12 minutes return to a single nurse per patient per shift. I mean, in the middle of a national nursing shortage, you literally cannot put a price tag on that kind of reclaimed capacity.
You really can't. And look at how it changes the dynamic of the broader care team, too. At Advent Health Waterman, implementing this system cut first-time calls to providers by 75%.
Oh, wow.
And it reduced wrong dose ordering by 54%. At Texas Health Hughley before Glytec, physicians were carrying the burden, entering 80% of the insulin orders. After implementation, physician order entry dropped to just 28%.
So who took over?
Pharmacists and nurses were able to take the lead safely because they were backed by an FDA-cleared dosing engine that actively protected them from making a mathematical error.
I definitely see the value there, but I have to put my operational skeptic hat back on for a second.
Go for it.
Every single time an IT department rolls out a new platform, the promise is always, this will save time. But the reality on the floor is often that we're just trading paper fatigue for alert fatigue in the EHR.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
You know, endless pop-ups, mandatory clicks, toggling between screens. Does moving to digital decision support actually give nurses their time back, or is it just another digital chore?
It's a fair question. We have all seen well-intentioned technology make a clinician's job harder. But the differentiator here is integration and timing.
How so?
GuiTech integrates directly into the hospital's existing systems, like Epic, Cerner, and Meditech. It isn't some separate portal a nurse has to log into.
Okay, that helps.
Right. But more importantly, because it is an FDA-cleared dosing engine, it actively calculates the trajectory of the patient and surfaces a recommendation before the adverse event occurs.
So going back to our car analogy, it's operating like a GPS navigation system. It isn't flashing a red check engine light to tell you that you just crashed into a ditch.
Exactly.
It's proactively telling you to slow down because there is a sharp curve half a mile ahead.
That is exactly the distinction. It is a proactive workflow, not reactive charting. You are being guided on the precise dose to ensure the patient remains stable.
Which explains the high adoption rate.
Yeah, that is why nursing satisfaction across deployed sites consistently runs between 90 and 100%. Nurses aren't fighting the software. They rely on it because it eliminates the anxiety of accidentally harming a patient with a math error.
So let's summarize the clinical wins before we pivot. We are looking at a 73% reduction in severe hypoglycemia, the total elimination of CCU bounce backs at Riverside, up to 72 minutes of nursing time saved per patient shift, and near universal nursing satisfaction.
That's a pretty good list.
It's incredible. But now I want to translate all of that into executive level financial language, because if clinical variation is a system failure, it is also a massive measurable drain on the operating margin. Safety and efficiency have a hard dollar value.
They absolutely do. So when Riverside audited the aftermath of this implementation, what did the financial picture actually look like?
Well, the audit revealed a 467% return on investment. Riverside documented an estimated annual cost savings in excess of $2.6 million.
Oh, wow. $2.6 million.
Right. But the aggregated number isn't even the most interesting part. It is how those buckets of savings actually break down. First, they saved $544,756 simply by managing hypoglycemia better.
And for those listening, we should probably clarify what those specific savings represent, because that $500,000 isn't just the cost of the insulin itself.
No, not at all. It is the avoidance of acuity costs. When a patient experiences severe hypoglycemia, the hospital incurs the cost of emergency interventions.
Like pushing D50.
Exactly. Pushing D50, calling a rapid response team, drawing additional emergency labs, and, you know, pulling a physician away from another revenue-generating activity. Eliminating those events immediately stops the bleeding of hospital resources. But the really massive financial impact sits on the capacity side.
Oh, you were talking about the length of stay reduction?
Yes. Riverside saved $2.1 million through an 18% reduction in their critical care unit length of stay. Let's look at the actual metric here. They reduced the length of stay index from 1.37 days to 1.2 days for a cohort of 3,500 patients with diabetes.
That is a massive shift for that population.
It is. To put that in stark terms for the executives listening, every single tenth of a point shaved off that length of stay index generated about $500,000 straight to the bottom line.
That length of stay metric is fascinating because, you know, patients with diabetes historically linger in the hospital longer, their healing is slower, their infection risk is higher. And if you are constantly destabilizing their blood sugar with reactive paper protocols, their bodies simply cannot recover. By smoothing out their glycemic control, you are fundamentally accelerating their discharge readiness.
It makes complete sense physiologically and financially.
But is Riverside's $2.6 million an outlier, or is this standard across the board?
It is the standard expectation when deployed at scale. Kaweah Delta thoroughly documented $9.7 million in annualized savings.
$10 million.
Yeah. Banner Health independently validated $3.5 million in cost avoidance. Across all Blue Commander deployments in the data set, there is an average length of stay reduction of 3.18 days.
3.18 days on average.
Yep. If you multiply 3.18 days of newly available hospital capacity by the average daily cost of an inpatient bed, the financial upside is just staggering. But we also have to talk about the financial downside. There is a regulatory hammer hanging over this entire conversation.
Ah, the CMS mandates. This changes the calculus entirely from just seeking a positive ROI to actively defending the hospital's revenue.
Precisely. Severe hypoglycemia and severe hyperglycemia are no longer just internal quality metrics. They are now CMS hospital harm ECQMs.
Electronic clinical quality measures.
Right. And the penalty for ignoring this is severe. If a hospital does not report these metrics, they forfeit 25% of their annual Medicare payment update.
That's a huge hit.
It's massive. Let me frame the reality of this for the listener. Operating without a validated electronic glycemic management system is essentially accepting a compounding tax on your own inaction.
Wow. It really transforms glycemic management from a nice-to-have quality improvement project into a fundamental, non-negotiable pillar of a hospital's risk management strategy.
Completely.
You are actively choosing to forfeit revenue while exposing your facility to public reporting risks.
So we have the clinical data, we have the workflow efficiencies, and we have millions of dollars in documented ROI and regulatory protection. Now we need to answer the so what.
Right. Time for the actionable strategy.
Let's synthesize this for the hospital administrators listening. How does a hospital actually implement this and, more importantly, guarantee that the ROI materializes? Because honestly, if I'm a CFO, I see a dozen projected ROI models cross my desk every week.
Sure. Every software vendor promises the moon.
Exactly. Why should a hospital leadership team believe this isn't just another overly optimistic vendor projection?
Well, they should believe it because Glytech operates on a commercial structure that forces them to absorb the risk. They don't just sell software licenses. They offer a value-based partnership.
Break down how that partnership functions mechanically, like compared to a legacy software vendor.
Okay, so a traditional vendor invoices you for the software. And if it fails to improve your clinical outcomes, well, that is entirely your problem. You bought the tool. How you use it is on you.
Standard SaaS model.
Yeah. But Glytech fundamentally disagrees with that model. Their value-based partnership has three tiers: platform, oversight, and ownership. At the highest level ownership, Glytech takes end-to-end accountability for your hospital's glycemic operating model.
Accountability meaning what, exactly?
They operate on a stated principle of zero events or zero invoice.
Wait, zero events or zero invoice? If I am understanding this structurally, Glytech is essentially taking on the financial liability of the hospital's clinical outcomes.
That is exactly what they're doing. And they back it up with a highly specific three-step mathematical approach.
How does the math work?
First, they ingest your hospital's actual historical data, your specific patient population, your current baseline of adverse events. Second, they define a clinical commitment with 99% statistical confidence.
Based on those 50 billion data points, I assume?
Exactly. And third, they tie their financial compensation directly to that performance. Glytech only earns its payment by actively eliminating the harm in your facility.
That is a complete inversion of the traditional risk profile for a hospital executive. I mean, you aren't buying a digital tool and hoping your staff adopts it correctly.
Not at all.
You are partnering with an entity that has a structural financial incentive to ensure your severe hypoglycemia rates plummet and your length of stay shrinks. If the clinical outcomes fail to materialize, the hospital's financial downside is protected.
Yep. But considering they have 20 years of continuous FDA clearance and the predictive power of 50 billion data points, the system simply does not fail.
It's brilliant.
They have the documented proof across hundreds of hospitals to back up the guarantee. And that is what elevates this from a standard IT upgrade into a true strategic transformation of a hospital's operating model.
Well, we've covered incredible ground in this deep dive. I mean, from the physiological dangers of static paper protocols at Riverside to the elimination of bounce backs.
And the recovery of thousands of hours of nursing time.
Plus a commercial partnership model that actually guarantees a multi-million dollar ROI. It's a lot to process, but it's undeniable.
It really is. And I want to leave you, the listener, with a forward-looking challenge to consider long after this deep dive ends. In late 2027, CMS is going to expand the public reporting of these glycemic safety metrics.
That clock is ticking fast.
It is. Soon, a severe hypoglycemic event in your hospital will no longer be viewed by the public or by regulators as a routine, unfortunate clinical complication. It is going to be viewed as a measurable, publicly visible iatrogenic failure.
A preventable failure of your system's architecture.
Exactly. So the question you have to ask yourself in your leadership team today is this. Is your hospital operating to the documented proactive standard set by peers like Riverside and Genesis? Or, you know, are you simply hoping your manual paper-based binders will somehow hold up under the unforgiving glare of public scrutiny?
Thanks for joining us today on The Drick, a GlycTech podcast production. For the full white papers and case studies discussed today, visit glycetech.com.